Testing.
Test. That was so fun. We need more of that.
Oh, hello. Didn't see you there.
Hi, I'm Des.
Hi, I'm Tant.
Welcome to DTN Unhinged. Hey.
Welcome. To DTN.
Welcome to DTN After Hours.
After Hours, and it is After Hours.
I feel like we should talk about the things that no one else talks about.
Yes, without getting cancelled.
Manager?
Where's our manager? Where's Corey?
Okay.
So, for the people that don't know how great you are and who you are, can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Destiny. I usually go by Des or D. I play professional tennis. I have been playing professionally since I was 15, I think. So it's been a while. I'm 24 now and started playing when I was 5. I have a lot of hobbies outside of tennis. My whole life isn't just about tennis, which I know it is for a lot of players, which is sad.
Very one-dimensional. No shade, no tea. It is what it is.
I just think life would be so boring that way, like without having any substance.
I know.
If you will.
I know. It's tennis or nothing. It's giving either I play professional or I become a coach.
I could never. I don't have the patience for that.
I don't know how people do it. I'm like, don't you want to do something else?
Well, I feel like they don't venture out because their entire life is, you know, going to courts, train, hotel, gym, and then probably too tired to do anything else. But something that I tell myself every day when I'm like at a tournament or training, there is more to life. There's more to my life than tennis. And it kind of helps me, you know, think of the better side of life, especially when I'm losing.
What have you learned through tennis?
I have learned that it's very hard to come by genuine people, not just in tennis, but in life. And I feel like I've learned that you can't put all your eggs in one basket, because when I was younger and transitioning from juniors to pro, it was all I had. And then leaving home after that, growing up, I actually had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know how to make a decision. I only learned how to do that like the last 2 years. Like, I still struggle with it. I don't know how to order my own food because of my anxiety. Just getting off track here. But that's like how tennis can play into your off-court life, because you learn so much, but you also are hindering yourself, I don't know, in other aspects, like socially as well. Like, I don't have many friends outside of tennis because, like, I'm not out, you know, partying or doing things that people my age would be doing in their day-to-day life. It's just tennis.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like it. I hate it. I think it's gross.
In what way?
In a way that I envy people who look like they have it all, like they go to work weekends, they're with their friends, you know, having girl dinners, which is why I've implemented, you know, games nights and getting my friends over or going to see them, making the effort to do that stuff, because it adds normalcy. Is that a word?
Today it can. Today it can. You mentioned something about your transition from juniors to pro. Can we dig deeper into that? Because I feel like it's not a conversation that's spoken about a lot or at all.
I feel like everyone's transition is different because these days everyone's just going to college. And I feel like back then when I was younger,
you had to do it the hard way. Ooh.
It wasn't, I feel like everyone was trying to go pro straight away instead of going the college route. I always knew that I wouldn't go to college because not to toot my own horn,
but
I was always playing like 5 years above. So it was just like the obvious decision for me not to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy school. I loved it. It was like my time away from tennis. Those, you know, that 8 hours of the day, it was like bliss for me. I didn't have to think about tennis. I could just go pretend I was a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd walk into school and every morning the girls would be talking, oh, I have a boyfriend. Oh, my boyfriend did this. Oh,
the regular
like, stuff. Who's coming over tonight? And I'd be sitting there like, huh. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Because, like, I missed out on so much.
Mm.
So I was, like, always trying to play catch up when I was in my teens.
It forced you to grow up?
Yeah. I think I'm mentally, like, 6 years old.
What?
Like, I'm just an old lady in the 24-year-old's body.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Although my knees and my back hurt. That's nursing though. So, but I can relate to that.
Enough about me. I want to hear about your entire process for your new EP that just released.
A lot of therapy. A lot of crying. Almost driving into a tree.
Oh. The sigh.
Mental health is important.
The heavy sigh.
Mental health is important. Mental health is important. But it was a process.
I feel like,
no pun intended,
a lot of weight would have lifted off your shoulders though as you were making your records and like writing the lyrics down.
I mean, yeah,
or
it
not.
It was therapeutic. I was getting a lot of anxiety when I released it.
Why?
It's like all these thoughts I've had, like so close to me, now I'm actually going to be sharing with the
world.
Yeah,
and everyone's going to be, like, could be judging it.
Yeah.
Hating
like,
it.
I don't want people to know me like that unless it's someone I'm actually like close to. So.
That's interesting because you sing.
I know.
You don't want anyone to know you.
Yeah.
But you're an artist.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to get back to like, you know how we had like Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey back in the day when everyone loved them, but no one knew nothing about them?
Okay.
That is what I want.
That was when we didn't have the internet though.
But now we have the internet and the kids can just dig anything up. You could get canceled like.
We could get canceled right now.
I'm so unhinged. It's so bad. Sometimes I just say things without.
You think?
Put in mouth.
I feel like that's the best way to live, though.
I don't know.
No, because, like, you know, when you go through life having so many thoughts and not being able to express them.
When I was younger, I used to be like that. But now that I'm pushing 30, I don't know. I'm like, nah, what I think is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I feel like with age, I'm becoming more outspoken with things that bother me, things that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Or
and saying no is so fun.
Yes.
Oh, do you want to no? Can you no? Can I have no?
Or just not replying?
Patty, no.
One thing I do, I delete messages without reading.
I can't delete them. I sometimes leave them just for like, just in case I need receipts. You just never know.
That's true.
So I just leave them there. I'll open it. Might send an emoji. Might send that,
So you don't care about leaving people on red?
It depends. It depends. I'm always like I reply quite quickly. Not that I don't have things going on.
Like, it depends though, right?
It depends, yeah.
It depends on the person.
Like if someone's... I'm not going to say that thought. I ain't gonna say that though.
Censor it.
So if I'm talking to someone and they're really annoying me, I'll archive the message. So the, I won't see the tear until like when I decide to untie
it. Okay, so yeah. It's not completely gone.
It's there somewhere, but as long as I can't see it.
Because yeah. I just straight up delete.
No. Because if you keep deleting and they keep messaging you, it keeps showing up. But if you archive them, it doesn't show up.
Okay.
So you should start doing that.
Yeah, but I delete the ones that don't, that like they're not double texting me.
Yeah.
There is just like a one word
call. Or someone sending four messages in a row.
A group chat.
Our group chat goes off. I love a group chat.
The third person doesn't reply sometimes.
I know. I mean, he's busy.
Trios, though. Trios are impossible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Nen. But, yeah, the process was... I don't take anything back. If anything, I would redo the process over and over again because I learned a lot about myself.
And how long did it take?
4 years. 5 years. I started in 2019. Remember how I was texting you about the friend I fell out with?
Yes.
I think it fell out in 2019 or 2018. That's when I started recording it. But I had no idea I was going to make an album or an EP. And
that's how long it usually takes to make an album?
Quality.
Okay.
Yes. But some people are just pushing through singles. And it's just true. Like no one wants to make body of work anymore. That's why you have people like, ooh. Some singers that just put out like singles and then 2 weeks later, you don't hear about the single anymore. Whereas like you have like some people like Money Long who make like quality music.
Yeah.
Like we were singing, what was it, Nen? Nobody knows me like you do. That song has been out since last year.
Yeah.
And we're still singing it. That's okay. Quality.
Okay. Like so as long as it's quality, it's yes. Okay.
Yes. If it's quality, it'll stay the time. It'll stay time. Okay. It'll be fine. If it's not, say for example, Driver's License.
Yes.
Is a perfect example.
Okay. Right?
That song was hot for a year and that was even
less. Yeah, I don't really, I still have it in my phone. I just skip it now.
Because you want to be like old. You want to be in your 80s and people are still playing your music. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think when she's 80, she wants to hear that song.
Okay.
I got my driver's license last week. Like what? At 80? Can you imagine okay, singing
I,
that?
I understand what yeah. You're saying.
Whereas like if Money Long at the age of 80,
yeah.
I mean, she may not be able to walk across the stage, but she can maybe sit down, but still sing Made For Me, Ruin Me. Like those songs are quality.
So you gotta make like timeless music as well.
Mariah Carey doesn't even like walk around the stage anymore. She just stands and someone holds her.
Mm-hmm.
And she just quality music.
Mm-hmm.
But no one wants to make quality anymore. So, yeah.
Okay.
Mm.
So who would you say is your favorite tennis player right now?
You.
Girl.
Serena's gone, Federer's gone, Nadal's gone, now Bandian's gone, Tsonga's gone.
Nadal needed to go.
Nishikori. let's reverse. Let's talk about that. Let's actually talk about that. Some people are in denial.
He needed to.
Some people swim in the river of denial. And denial is a river in Egypt.
He just, it was time, like... And he didn't even finish on a high.
It's really sad because it's like you're pushing almost 40. You're forcing yourself to play this sport, which your body's telling you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one dimensional thing we're talking about.
Yeah.
Like you have to have other outlets to but go to.
Rafa, like he's,
like
he's
get,
set for life.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. Tennis, you want to keep playing it for like the rest of your life, but be realistic. You're old.
Novak's old.
Okay, Novak.
Mm-hmm.
Great player. Great longevity. Okay,
but what about like during COVID? Were you a Novak stan then? Are you vaxxed?
Okay, let me try to remain neutral. So what delusion are we living on to think that an international someone is going to come and make a living for 3 weeks?
Well, I didn't think I was an essential worker.
The government wanted money. You're essential if they want money.
I was loving the essential worker pass.
I had one. I liked it. It was lit.
It was nice.
I could travel anywhere. While everyone was inside, I was out.
When did you?
I was out.
I had that 5 kilometer rule.
It didn't apply to me.
Phillip Island.
It didn't apply to me. I was in Shepparton, Mildura. I was everywhere.
I drove to Phillip Island.
I was like, everywhere.
Yeah, this is work.
And when I got pulled over, I was like, I can get the card here. This is my card. They're like, hey, sure.
I never got pulled over.
I got pulled over a couple of times.
The curfew was nice.
It didn't apply to me.
You were out?
Because I was a healthcare worker, so I didn't have a curfew.
Oh.
So I was driving from Shepparton at like 10:30 a.m., getting to Melbourne at 2 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
It was fun. The roads were empty.
It was so good. There was no traffic.
Traffic was, oh. The smell in the city was a lot cleaner. Maybe we're the real virus. Ooh.
Have you seen Avengers?
Mm-hmm. Which one?
The one with Thanos.
This Infinity Stone where everyone disappears. COVID was like that a little bit.
I feel like
it was like
the
that.
World would be so much better. No, seriously though, you just said we are the problem.
We are. Unfortunately, but, we are.
Which is why I agree with Thanos.
It's like we create the problems, then we expect to fix the problems. But all we need to do is take a step back and chill out. Go back into the house. Stay in the house. Less cars, less car accidents, less patients in hospital. Because we had like a lot of COVID people that were like flooding the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. And you'd have someone that's having a heart attack that can't even get a bed. But because Timothy and John want to go to a party, a COVID party... You know.
So how come it takes 8 hours to wait in the emergency?
It depends which hospital.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they classify you according to your acuteness. So meaning how sick you are. So if you're having chest pain, your number one acuity would be head strike with loss of consciousness. And you're altered, like your mentation, how you're presenting. If you're confused, are you talking gibberish? Are you like looking odd? You're number one. If you're having a heart attack, you're number one. If you had a car accident and you comatose, you're number one. If you're coming in because you cut your throat off a glass and it's like a little like superficial cut, they're not going to really do anything until like 8 hours, 10 hours later. If it's something more, like if your teeth fall out.
Okay, you need urgent care for that.
Not really. As long as your airway is patent, they'll deal with you later.
But your teeth.
Yeah, it's not important. If you choke on your teeth, then it becomes important. So that's how the healthcare system works.
That's crazy.
I know.
I think the breakpoint was bad.
It wasn't great.
I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed it when Nick's episode was on. You didn't enjoy that one?
They were a bit problematic.
I would rather watch that, though, than watch Sakari lose.
I don't know why she... How many titles does she have?
I'm actually not sure. When did you stop playing tournaments?
I'm 27 now.
Why did you stop playing
tournaments? I got into a fight.
Okay.
I was getting hooked badly.
Uh-huh.
I was winning the match and then we go to break and then he comes back with the tournament ref. And the tournament ref was like, I heard you were cheating. And I was like, huh? And I was like, I just won the first set 6-4. And the other guy's like, no, you didn't. I won the first set 6-4. Yeah. So I'm Burundar.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Being a person of color, I can't seem aggressive. So I was like, whatever, you have it. So I ended up I just threw the match. That was the last time I played.
Do you think that's why Serena always got cooked during US Open?
Yes and no. The times where Serena had those like major scenes, like Serena hit a winner down the line backhand and then the chair umpire calls it out. Capriati saw the ball, like it was at least 2 meters in, right? Serena goes to the umpire and goes, what the hell is going on, right? And then the app was like, I saw it out. This is before Hawkeye. I think it's 2004, before Hawkeye, because Hawkeye came in 2006, 7-ish. And then the umpire's like, no, the ball, I saw it out. Capriati saw it in, but she didn't see anything, right? That's number one. Then the next one that happened would have been the Kim Clijsters one when she said, I want to shove a tentacle down your fucking throat. I'm like, I get it that you're in the heat of the moment. It's a foot fault. You don't normally foot fault, and you're foot faulting. So then she foot faults.
That gave her match points, right?
Yes. And then she ended up being defaulted because she had broken her racket the point before, or a couple of games before. Then the next one would have been with Sam Stosur when she hit her forehand and then Sam clipped it and she said, come on. And then the umpire was like, that's a hindrance. I personally don't think it was because Sam couldn't get the ball.
I don't remember that.
2011. After she beat Caroline Wozniacki like the night before and she finished at like 2 a.m. and then had to play it.
Why did she play the next day?
I don't know. The scheduling was cooked.
It still is.
Yeah. We should talk about that after this.
Okay.
And then, and then what happened in when did she give birth? 2017. Then 2018, Naomi Osaka situation. So she broke her racket.
When Naomi cried.
She broke her racket. She did something else. And then Patrick tried to coach her, but she wasn't, wasn't watching.
She was like,
then she goes to Carlos. Yeah. And then she goes, you need to make a statement that I don't cheat. You'll never ref. And the gag is he never refed another match after that ever again. Like, he's nowhere to be found. No one knows where he went. No one knows where he went. So I did a deep dive just to see if Carlos was actually that strict. Because apparently there was a documentary about how umpires usually like treat other players. A couple of the men abused Carlos and he never gave them warnings. But when Serena said,
were they white?
Yes. But when Serena said, you're a liar, he felt some type of way and decided to default her a game. Because Serena was actually up in that second set. And then Naomi got the game, then she held to love. And then the next game, Serena just lost. So.
Thoughts on Naomi's US Open dress?
Yeah. It was nice.
That is the thought.
It was green. It was green and black, yeah? The day one was green.
Night was black.
Was black.
With the white bow, was it?
I prefer to see her play good tennis than to wear anything nice. Like, I get it, but like, Serena has done this whole thing where Serena and Venus have done this whole thing where tennis is now a fashion. I get it. But if you're going to wear stuff that's great,
you
need to play great.
You need to win.
So
if you get dressed like that,
you can't be out here. Like, remember when Serena came out Wimbledon and she had the whole night and the, what is it called? The tail of the thingamabob? What do you call it? The train. The train.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's Serena. That makes sense. She's the GOAT. It makes sense. But then she ended up
she had those, like, that dress with, like, the diamonds on it in her last US Open, was it?
Yeah. I was like, it's a bit cool down, but it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to go all out.
Serena.
Yeah.
When she had her cat suit, that was nice.
The AO one. I like that one. The FloJo inspired one.
When she first did it, the French
Open. The US Open. Oh, and the French Open when they banned it the following year.
Yeah, because everyone was like, how come Serena can wear tights, but we can't? And then the ITF implemented that we are allowed to wear tights.
Do you know what
the gag is? What?
There was a Czech player that played in tights, like a full, like, fit tights, like a while ago at Wimbledon, but they never said anything.
Was it when the rule wasn't in place?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was like, it's interesting how they waited for Serena.
It's giving racist. This is a very white sport.
I mean, it is. Tell me about your experiences with being marginalized playing tennis.
Well, I'm not sure if I can be the spokesperson for it.
I reckon you can, because you're a person of color. You'd have had some experiences.
Well, when I was little. And I don't know if it's because of me being Polynesian or just because of the genes I have with my parents being athletes. But I know I got comments of like, oh my gosh, she looks like a man because I had little muscles.
Whoa. Who's saying that about a kid?
Just like parents. Parents of other players would say that. White parents.
That's wild.
I would get those comments. Or there was this other Polynesian girl who used to play as well.
I remember her.
Noelda?
Yeah.
everyone would be like, are you guys sisters? Are you guys related? And it would be so annoying. It still annoys me to this day because, like, you're only saying that because...
we're both of the same heritage, similar heritage.
And even, like, I'll get it at airports. One time, I think I was with my old coach and Corey. And there was this, I think we were next to, like, Air New Zealand. And we were going somewhere else. And there was this, like, Polynesian family behind us.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the airline hostesses was like, oh, like, are you with them? When I was, like, right next to Corey, my old coach. And I was like, no, I'm with them.
Bruh.
And then recently, my last trip, the, you know how we on our passports we have the e-gate thing
mm-hmm.
to just go straight through security gates?
Yeah.
He was like, New Zealand? And I was like, Australia. I was so annoyed.
It's always the guessing of the... My favorite thing is when someone asks me, a person not of color asks me, like, where are you from?
Well, what do you say?
Berwick. They're like, no, but where you from? I'm like, Berwick. They're like, where were your parents born? I'm like, Berwick. They're like, what about your grandparents? I'm like, Berwick. They're like, what about your great? I'm like, oh, Zimbabwe. I'm like, but where are you from? What's your European heritage? They're like, oh yeah, I'm from Scotland or something like that. I don't know. I'm like, oh.
See, you should never miss an opportunity to put people in their place when they're being racist.
It's always the microaggressions that get me.
Have you gotten any, like, recently?
I had some today.
Or at tennis. At tennis specifically.
All the time. I'll never forget this player I was playing, and I was beating him, like, I was up 6-love and 5-love up, right? And then he goes, Mama, I can't believe I'm losing to this nigga. And I was like... like, I was so shook. I was like, yes, I've heard, like, I've had it been said to me a couple of times, but not in that setting.
So bad.
And I'm just like...
But how do you, like, control yourself after hearing something like that? I wouldn't have been able to.
I don't. I try not to take it personal because it's not about me, it's about them. When I was a kid, I used to want to fight people all the time. But now that I'm older, I just call police.
I feel like it's, like, the opposite for me. When I was little, I would just shut my mouth. But now I want to throw hands.
I mean, yes, but...
You can't do that in this sport.
Just sue people.
So who is your favorite Australian tennis player?
Apart from you.
Men. Let's go men first.
Is anyone black? Corey is my favorite tennis player.
Okay. Why is Corey your favorite male Australian tennis player?
He actually thinks through his points and everything is tactical. Some people just hit the ball with no thinking.
I like that answer.
I'm right.
He doesn't play like a normal person.
Because all the other guys, either they're serving big, expecting to have forehand. Why can't men hit backhands?
That annoys me because everyone I see...
Like, you're in the alleyway hitting a forehand. Why? Why?
They would rather run an extra 100 meters from the juice side to the ad side than they would hit a backhand.
And, like, it doesn't make sense to me. It makes zero sense to me.
I don't understand why men are so bad at hitting backhands.
I don't get it either. I mean, maybe, like, they don't practice it a lot.
Do you know why it's like that? Because usually for...
I know Novak has a better...
They have better opposite backhands, yeah.
I know with Novak... Surprisingly, his backhand's better than his forehand. But everyone's like, no, his forehand's better because he hits more winners. I'm like, it's just a shot that he plays more. But technicality, his backhand does not break down.
It's just very simple.
Yeah.
I understand why Corey's your favorite tennis player now.
His technique is solid.
I feel like you have to be insane, though, to be the best.
And then Novak had surgery. Somehow goes into a Grand Slam final, like, 4 weeks later. Somehow. Despite against all medical.
He's got that dog in them.
I don't know, mate.
It's just built different.
I don't know.
know. You have to be insane, though, to make it.
You have to
be insane in the head.
You have to be cuckoo crazy.
Yeah.
Like, the way Serena was talking about how much better she was than Venus, I'm like, bro, that is your sister.
I loved watching their matches, though.
But I hated it.
Why?
I mean, I enjoyed the quality. I hated it. Because I'm like, I don't know who to cheer for.
Me was always Serena.
Serena has always been the better player. But I feel like Venus could have been better.
She could have.
If she fixed that second serve. The second serve and the forehand.
Oh, yeah. Her
tech was like, Serena didn't have any weaknesses. Off too. Yeah. And Serena didn't have any weaknesses.
True.
So.
I loved watching her and Sharapova.
I could do Sharapova without the grunting. Then came Victoria.
Oh, God.
Then those two in a, oh, my gosh, in a match?
No, you know what was like so out of pocket? Was when AO always had the decibel count.
The decibel count. I mean, I think I'm a bob, yeah.
When Sharapova was playing, I think that was a bit out of pocket.
Me being a singer, I'm thinking, like, your vocal cords, aren't they damaged? Because you are screaming every shot for 3 hours straight.
I don't know if I get tired just from grunting.
Like, it's just...
Yeah, it gives you, like, that oomph. Would you put your kids in tennis?
Yes, I would.
Why?
Because I feel like the lessons you learn in tennis are also life lessons. They go beyond the court. Like, problem solving, for example.
Would you encourage them to go pro?
Given what I've heard and what you tell me and my other friends tell me, yes, but have a backup. Because if you don't, if it's affecting your mental health, do something else.
And would you be prepared to spend
$1 million approximately
on your kids to be playing
tennis? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
What about you? What about you? I feel like your answer is no.
100% not. If we did have kids, I would never, ever put them in tennis. I would hide everything to do with tennis.
Gymnastics? Gymnastics is crazy. That's even worse.
No, I would want to put my boys in NRL. You don't like rugby?
Dramatic brain injuries?
Yeah, but money.
A lot of them don't live to 80.
They stay at home.
A lot of them don't live to 80.
Who needs to live to 80?
A lot of people.
I don't want to live to 80.
I mean, as long as I'm healthy, if I'm pushing a pram at 80, but I want to be fully fit.
Yeah, like there's like 70.
I want to be chasing goats around my farm or something.
Still running around.
You're laughing then. I want to be chasing my goats around the farm at 80. I don't want to break a hip.
That's a good quality of life though. You don't want to be dead in bed having someone wipe your ass for you.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Like, no.
And personally, me having experience of being a nurse and actually looking after people like that, it's really disheartening to see and to speak people in that situation. Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into the very first episode of DTN Unhinged. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We're excited to bring you so much more. Join us next week for episode